Welcome to America Weekend, a new kind of radio because life doesn't stop on the weekends. I am Paul Harris. Happy to be on the job and talking about work now with my guest, Laura Vanderkam, who has written several jobs about work and productivity, including one book called 168 Hours, You Have More Time Than You Think. She also has written All the Money in the World, and her new one is called What the Most Successful People Do at Work. Laura, welcome to America Weekend.
Thank you for having me.
I was interested in one piece that you have in the book about workaholics. You looked at some statistics that I guess came from the government's office, the Bureau of Labor Statistics, and found out that people who say that they are workaholics may not actually be workaholics, right?
Yes, there's a fascinating study published about 2 years ago by some researchers, including John Robinson, that looked at people's estimated work week, so how many hours they think they work, compared with if you force them to keep a log of it, right, to see how many hours you are actually working. And it turns out that people who claim to be working 75 hours a week or more are basically off by about 25 hours. And you can guess in which direction. No one is underestimating their extreme work week. So we may be lying to ourselves just a little bit.
Now, are these people who are lying on their forms for work where they're supposed to tell how many hours that they've worked and they're handing that in, you know, they're paid per hour and, I'm going to just put down 75 so I get a bigger paycheck?
Generally not. So if you're paying your employees by the hour, you probably have a pretty good system for figuring out how many hours they work. This tends to be more an issue in exempt jobs, so jobs that are salaried. So it's not really clear how many hours people are working. And what winds up happening is people feel like they're working a lot, or they feel like they're tired or burnt out or something like that. And so the way we talk about that is by claiming these very, very long work weeks. But if you look at the actual numbers, it turns out it's probably not quite that bad.
How are they getting it wrong?
So people who thought they were working 70, 80 hours a week are probably working about 50. What tends to happen is that we say, I text some email at night, right? And it may not actually take that long, but we have a tendency to view work done at night or on the weekends as taking a lot more time than it really did, probably because we don't want to be doing it, right? Mm-hmm. That's human nature. Anytime there's something you don't want to do, it seems to take longer than there's something that you want to do.
Right.
So that tends to be a lot of it. We also just say, I seem like I'm always at work, and we discount things like half days, we discount long lunches, anything like that.
You know, I always rail against these surveys. They're not really surveys as much as they are press releases put out by companies right around Super Bowl time and around March Madness. Every year they come out, and it's always the same companies, and I'm never going to mention their name because they want me to mention their name, so I'm never going to. But they come out with these lost productivity surveys that tell you how many billions of dollars are lost by people, quote, wasting time at work talking about the Super Bowl or filling out their March Madness brackets. And I always say when I talk about these that these numbers are bogus because people waste time at work every day regardless of what it is. No one goes into work unless you're working on a factory line where you can't step away because if you do, other people's work down the line is going to be directly affected by you not making the car part at your angle. If you work, for instance, in a cubicle job, you do not work every minute you're there.
No, you don't. And so I always get these press releases too, and I tend not to want to write about them except if I'm making fun of them because we're not robots. I mean, if you want to hire robots to do your job, fine. You're not going to lose any productivity around Super Bowl because the robots don't care. But if you have human beings working for you, people may actually become more productive if they feel like they're part of a group at the office, right? If they feel about like people care about them, if they feel like their supervisor cares about them, then they want to do a good job. And part of that is having conversations about things that you care about, which may be the Super Bowl, it may be other things. So those are sort of silly numbers that are come up. I always say that the biggest productivity wasters at work are things that actually look like work. So meetings that didn't have to happen, emails that didn't have to get sent, phone calls that didn't need to actually commence.
Years ago, at one radio station I worked for, I tried to have written into my contract that all meetings had to be done standing up. I thought we would have saved so much more time because you can tell me in 30 seconds in the hallway everything I need to know instead of going into your office and schmoozing for 20 minutes.
Exactly. Another good clause would be that nobody gets to go to the bathroom. So serve everyone coffee beforehand. Have a meeting. No one gets to leave. It will be over fast.
This is America Weekend. I'm Paul Harris talking with Laura Vanderkam, whose new book is called What the Most Successful People Do at Work. So let's talk about what those individuals can do to change their habits, perhaps. The ones who are overestimating by 50% how much time they're actually spending doing their job, how can they actually become more productive?
Well, there's a couple of disciplines that I've found successful people really try to do on a daily basis. A big one is planning. Many of us get so go, 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 like a hamster on a wheel with work, that we don't stop and think about, well, what do I actually want to accomplish in my working hours? What would I like to have be different in the world at the end of this workday versus what it is at the start? And if you actually build in a little bit of a planning period into your life, whether that be on a weekly basis, on a daily basis, whatever you can do, you will be amazed at how much more productive you become. But the caveat with that, I always say to people, is another thing successful people are good at, which is that, you know, you may have all these great ideas for how you're going to light a fire under your career or, you know, move your organization forward, but you also need to pace yourself, right? That we have a tendency to have our first cup of coffee and totally overcommit to what we can do in the course of a day. It's better to give yourself a very short to-do list and get through all of it. Day after day, without fail, it's a contract with yourself. Limit that list. Get it all done. You will keep making forward motion.
Oh, I am guilty of that myself. I make a long list, and you know what? On the bulletin board in my home office, right above where my laptop sits, there is a list there, and I can tell you right now, if I were to look at it, there would be at least three things that have been on that list for a month.
Well, maybe you need a separate list, right? So for things that you want to get to at some point in your life but aren't, you know, that day's priorities. The problem of staring constantly at something that you're not doing, and you know you're not going to do if you're honest with yourself, is that you always have this nagging sense of failure, that I set out a goal for myself and I didn't do it. So what's wrong with me? Am I lazy? Am I, you know, are things overwhelming? Those are not great thoughts to be having. Better to have a very short list, plow through it, get it all done. If you have more time, great, go do some more things. But, you know, make success possible by pacing yourself.
I'm starting to think maybe I just don't want to paint the bathroom.
Well, better to own that truth, right? I mean, there are things we do not want to do, and if life is telling us we really don't want to do it, you know, there are people you can pay to paint the bathroom.
Now, you talked about people who are exempt, people who are salaried. But there are still salary jobs where you have to keep track of your hours. You know, if you work in a legal firm, let's say you're a first or second year associate, you have to bill X number of hours if you want to move forward in that job. Same thing in a big accounting office. You know, you bill the client based on the hours worked. Are those things accurate?
Well, the hours they bill are probably accurate. The interesting thing, if you look at the quotas for how much people are supposed to bill, it really does come out around 40 hours a week in many cases, so 2,000 hours a year of billable time. And, of course, what these people would point out is that there's other stuff you have to do, right, that is not perfectly billable to a client. And so that's why these people get, you know, claim they have 75-hour work weeks. But if you actually record that time, too, it's often not putting them up over 80 hours a week. I have given speeches in professional service firms where people do have to bill hours to clients. The time logs I have had people keep have topped out around 60 hours a week. So it happens there, too, that people overestimate their work weeks.
One last thing I want to ask you about, particularly for people who are salaried and maybe have to bill people for other stuff later on for the hours that they worked. How much do you count thinking time?
There are gray areas, right? And when I've kept track of my time, if I'm, you know, reading something for work on an airplane, I'm working. But if I'm reading something not for work on an airplane, then I'm not working. There, of course, are gray areas. But I would say that you don't count against work the times at work that you're not thinking about work. From personal experience, I would say there's probably plenty of times at work that I'm not thinking about work. So you can't just look at the number of hours that are in a week and subtract the number of hours you're asleep and say, I must be working at every other point.
Right.
I've had people try to do that for me when they're calculating it. It doesn't work. That means you never watched a movie and thought about the movie, right?
Right. Yeah. And by the way, every time you tell somebody, oh, no, I was thinking about work, you then have to subtract the number of times you were thinking about that great lasagna you had for dinner last night. Laura, it's a pleasure. Well, a pleasure having you on the show. Thanks so much.
Thank you for having me.
Laura Vanderkam, what the most successful people do at work. I'm Paul Harris, and this is America Weekend.
America Weekend.